Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Rary is Fundamental Podcast, episode 13. Or is it Rary is Pun-demental? No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. What's up, Internet? This is the Rary is Fundamental Podcast, episode 13, recorded on May 7th, 2015, brought to you by Rary.net. I am your host, Ray Moraldi, and you also know me as Rary. Twitter is a funny thing. It's changed my entire life, really, but now it's become a necessary evil. I first got Twitter in 2008. That's right, kids, 2008. So I've been on here there for about 7 years. I was able to get jobs because of Twitter. I was able to meet the best people on there because of Twitter. And I wouldn't have gotten, you know, a career if it weren't for Twitter. But nowadays, you also get to see the worst of people when it comes to Twitter. Yeah, it's become a legitimate real news source right now. But unfortunately, it's the way people react to certain things that really bug me about Twitter. A real raw emotional moment becomes a joke to a lot of people. Some people don't take, you know, these moments seriously. It's almost like they'd rather win the internet than react appropriately. It's almost like you discover how ugly the people of the world can be. It's really sobering. You know, 5 or 6 years ago, it felt more like a community, and you get to share what you like without being judged. Now, because everyone has Twitter, it's like you found out how real life can be. Because about 5 or 6 years ago, it felt more like, you know, high school or college. You know, you're just in that little bubble. Anyway, so not only am I going to talk basketball with my next guest coming up, but we're going to talk about how Twitter has changed and evolved over the years. An old friend of mine, Adam Jacoby, and he covers the Iowa Hawkeyes on a site called Black Heart Gold Pants. We're not going to talk Iowa, sorry. But Adam is very good at the Twitter.com, as he calls it, and he helps me break it down on how he keeps Twitter fun, even after all these years. Are we good on that? Awesome. Scratch. On the line, he covers everything Iowa Hawkeyes on SB Nation. I believe the site is called Black Heart Gold Pants. And he is the worst joker ever on Twitter. Adam Jacoby, what's up?
I'm very good at Twitter.com, Ray. How dare you?
I have no idea. We will talk about Twitter.com later on, but right now, man, it's like we were going to talk about basketball here for a little bit, but here's the thing that really like bothers me a lot about the NBA these days. It's like the healthiest team wins. That's what it comes down to right now at this point, right?
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, you think about the laundry list of players who have been hampered by injuries, and teams that have been hampered because of it. There are so many teams that I would love to see in the playoffs at full strength, like full strength, Cleveland versus full strength Chicago right now would be awesome.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if John Wall could play, that'd be great. It's a bummer. And hopefully this doesn't become a long-term trend, because, you know, basketball shouldn't be a game of attrition. That's football. You know, basketball is at its best, just this incredible athletic improvisational dance. And, I like it when the best people who can do that get the opportunity to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Thunder have been robbed the last 3 years because of injuries.
Yeah.
They lost Durant this year. They lost Ibaka for a little bit last year, and that was enough for the Spurs to overcome them. 2 years ago, Westbrook was lost because of Patrick Beverley. So we've lost the Thunder, and then 2012, we lost Derrick Rose because of that. The game was over at that point, and he got injured in a non-important play. So It's become a battle of attrition. That's what it feels like now.
Yeah. And, boy, Durant's the worst part, especially coming off of an MVP season, you know, and it's like the song says, ooh, Kevin has a place that hurts. Yeah, we're onto it. We're getting there. But you know, that's it. It bums me out when injuries take away the best players. Like LeBron, I think is the best player in the league, and if he doesn't get a chance to go super far in the playoffs because Kevin Love got gooned out of the entire postseason, that sucks. You know,
yeah,
that just sucks. So hopefully Love finds a way. Well, no, Love won't find a way this year, but hopefully LeBron finds a way.
You're the worst. It's like two already in like the first 2 minutes. Yeah. So, who do you have? Like, before the postseason started, who did you have winning?
Before it started, I thought it was either going to be the Cavs or Warriors. And like Spurs number three on the list. So that totally worked out, the Spurs thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh man, that series was perfect, wasn't it? Wasn't it just perfect?
It was excellent, yeah. And it was it became the Chris Paul game because he got hurt during that game and he ended up, you know, it was like a Disney-like type of game, so.
Yeah, and so sure enough, now he's hampered and out.
Yeah.
And so now Rivers is ostensibly the starter. And he's not good.
I don't know how I'm going to make it through this podcast, man. But I actually felt really bad for Austin in that play because he was playing pretty well on his for his standards during that game. You know?
Yeah. I mean, he's rising to the occasion. For him, you know, rising means getting to bare competency. he's never going to be an all-star. We know that.
Yeah.
But as long as he's not, you know, actively taking away from the performance of the team, then fine, you know, give him all the minutes he can get. But boy, they need Paul back in the worst way.
Yeah, they really do.
And you know, for the sake of the sport, we need Paul back. You know, just so we can see the team at full strength and them doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly. And going back to that play that Austin Rivers did where he tripped over and did a barrel roll and everything, it was a good move. Like, it was a behind-the-back dribble.
Sure, his intentions were pure.
Yes, it was a good move. It's just that, you know, he dribbled the ball a little too far away and he couldn't catch up to it, and he ended up tripping, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can do that. I'm great at, like, hey, watch this move, and then I end up on my face. Yep, like... Take me down to the blacktop. I will show that off immediately. But the one nice thing, the one silver lining about Paul going down is this turns into this huge showcase for Blake Griffin, who is, you know, just putting on a supernova effort. I don't want to say out of nowhere, because we're talking about a former number one pick and an all-star and the guy from the Kia commercial. So, like, it's not like... This is Austin Rivers going bananas. But, like, dude is ripping off series that we've never seen from people ever. Like, what did Matt Morris say? Like, nobody in a playoff series has ever done 23, 13, and 7? Mm-hmm. Like, that's bananas. And he's making excellent throws. These are not just, you know, all gimme stuff. I mean, he's really balling out. So it's nice to see Blake Griffin the other team a hard time.
Anyway, should we be surprised that Blake Griffin's doing this, though, because he was, like, third in MVP last year?
Yeah, he was. So I guess it's not that much of a surprise, per se, but it is still, like, even though he didn't get as many MVP votes this year, as I recall, like, it is still a step up for him in terms of quality of play, I think. Mm-hmm. Do you agree?
I do agree, yeah. I mean, he's doing it without Chris Paul. I mean, mm-hmm. Chris Paul's supposed to make Blake Griffin better.
Yeah, that's the thought. But, I mean, here he is showing out.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And they got a split in Houston, which is what they wanted to do in the first place. And they still, like, they got close in winning game two until Austin Rivers did what he did. but back to Austin, though. It must be really tough in a way because he's playing for his dad in an NBA team. I mean, that's really tough. That's a lot of pressure, man.
Yeah, it is. Like, you can get away with that in high school and in college. Like, you, mm-hmm. you know, Doug McDermott was his dad's player at Creighton. So, and like mm-hmm. that worked out well for him. I don't think anybody wants to be a professional playing for their dad, though. like that, because then like you can't leave work at work at that point. Like I know he doesn't live with. I hope he doesn't live with his dad. I guess I don't know. No, but no. God, I hope not. like, can you imagine like having to go through you know a basketball practice with a basketball coach yelling at you, and then like you have to go eat dinner with him after that? Like, hi, Dad.
Yeah, right.
And you know the players just resent him for it too, and they are yeah. like. The Blake Griffin impression that he did of Rivers, that was fatal. I mean, that was yeah. so brutal, and it was hilarious. But, oh, man.
It sucks. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, it's going to be so awkward because eventually Austin's going to be cut from that team. You know it.
Yeah, right.
You know that's going to happen.
Well, I hope he had a nice meal, son. By the way, before you go, yeah, that's going to be a rough conversation. Why'd you have to cut me, Dad?
I know. Trade you. I'm going to trade you to the Minnesota Timberwolves, Dad,
for a second round pick for literally nothing.
Dad, I'm not worth that much, aren't I, Dad? Son, go to your room.
Son, we have to have this talk. You're not good. I failed as a father.
By the way, do you know about the birds and the bees? All right. So we saw the rise of official NBA team Twitters this year. Like they just exploded this season.
Mm-hmm.
But are we going to see some teams start to censor these guys on social media, just like what happened to Chad Shanks in Houston? Like we all know what happened. He got fired after an inappropriate tweet, I suppose.
Yeah, so like what was sincere question. Was it just that he put an emoji gun to an emoji horse's head? Or was it like, I think I saw a couple people complaining about the phrasing, but I don't, was the phrasing of it bad too? Because I really don't get why he was fired for it.
I can see the phrase being a trigger for something.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that. Oh boy.
But
yeah.
But that wasn't my first thought.
Right.
But that
wasn't my first thought. It's not my first thought either, but boy, if it is.
Yeah.
Oh, so, that's tough.
So, but it is tough. And did you think he should have gotten fired? I don't think he should have gone fired for it.
No, I mean, I think that's a good learning or a good teaching moment, as they mm-hmm. say, and a nice opportunity to be like, hey, whoops, sorry, didn't mean that at all. And I think the people who would be, you know, triggered by that would generally be like, yeah, okay, I get it. You know, at the same time, like, okay, if we're firing for that, you know, I would say inadvertent poor phrasing of it, then how many heads are going to roll for the Cavs, you know, basically putting on a domestic violence skit in their in-game video thing?
Yeah, I saw
like that is full on objectionable.
Yeah.
Like several people would get fired if I were in charge of that franchise. Like that,
yeah.
That wasn't a mistake. That was like, hey, I have an idea and it involves a man hitting a woman. Let's just let it play out. Like, what are you insane?
Yeah, what are you thinking? And how did that get through?
Right.
How did that get through?
Like, a lot of people had to sign off on that. A lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. You have to go through channels for that. And, you know, on Twitter, you have no one's looking over your shoulder. You just tweet because mm-hmm. it's all in real time. So that's one reason why I think that should be forgivable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this one, you go through five, six people, probably even go through the owner, whatever. Like, hey, is this cool? You know, you go through a lot of channels for that, and how the heck did it get through?
Yeah, I hope the Cavs, you know, start chopping some heads, because, you know, at some point, a high-level executive, I don't know if it's Dan Gilbert or not, probably not, but somebody involved in the day-to-day operations of that team way high up, looked at that and said, let's do it. That is okay by me. And, buddy, it's not okay with me. And I don't think it's okay with the vast majority. Well, I hope it's not okay with the vast majority of people, but I don't really know. But, like, that's it's over the line. And frankly, it's not funny. Like, as humor, it sucks. But, you know, people are all like, oh, well, what about free speech? Well, okay, but that doesn't make your humor good. Humor isn't good automatically. It has to be funny. And if it's hitting a woman, it's not funny. It's just like, hey, here's an awful thing, you know? Like, okay, I mean, what? Why would you? I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand why it has to happen in 2015. And it really bums me out, especially when we're firing over horsey gun triggered tweets. Like, yeah, it upsets me.
So somehow, the audio went out when I was talking about a certain tweet to Adam. It had Kevin Love spreading love with Dick's Sporting Goods, but Dick's was all lowercase. Let's go to that.
No!
Yes, this happened with the cat.
Oh.
And it stayed for hours. Like, it was there for hours, and we're just like, how come no one's taking this down?
And why does it have to be about spreading love? Of all the...
Yes,
oh,
exactly.
No. Oh,
yeah,
cat.
This happened, yeah, early December. Yeah, it happened early December, and it was there for hours. I think even a whole day, really. No one took it down.
Well, that's too bad. I don't even know, like, logistically how you team up with Dick's, but
well, that's what I mean. Like, are we gonna stop seeing fun NBA Twitter accounts now? After all this,
I hope not. You know, and yeah. Especially because it's not like it's difficult to tell jokes and be fun and foster a community without saying objectionable stuff. Like, even inadvertently objectionable. You know, it's fun, but you have to have a developed sense of humor to do it. Well, you know, of course you can find 30 sports fans with a developed sense of humor and, you know, the knowledge of how to use Twitter.com. So, like, no, maybe there's going to be some sort of shift in the way these teams do it, and maybe it's a good shift even. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, you have to real time, though, because – you just can't go like, oh, it's just, hey, a minute to check it out. And then by the time it gets there, it's too late. You know what I mean? So
Yeah. And it is difficult. And I know the perils of having to, navigate, you know, events real time. And you can't, like, trying to run a Twitter account that's basically 5 minutes behind the news on everything when it comes to sporting events is just useless. So, like, you have to have a basically superhuman sense of, okay, like, what's cool to go, what's not cool to go. You know, I know the difference, and I'm right about the difference 100% of the time. Like, that is difficult. I grant you that, but, you know, you can find 30 people to do it. So. Yeah, I am not worried about the future of social media in the NBA. And there are so many people who do it already who are excellent at it and have never had any problems, like the Hawks social media person. I don't know
so
if it's
great.
A he or
yeah.
a she, but
the he.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's incredible at it. And and it helps, obviously, that Atlanta is good at the basketball. You know, when you're happy 80% of the time, it's really easy not to push any of the wrong buttons. But no, that's pretty much the way to do it, and to have fun and to make people feel like, the franchise is, of them, for them, among them, you know what I mean? It can be done, and it is being done, and I think it'll continue to be done that well.
Mm-hmm. If the Bulls offers you a position in social media, like, can you run the Twitter account behind that? Like, do you think you can do it? Because I know I can't do it. I would have too many sexual jokes, so I can't do it.
Well, I think it would be unbelievable if they did. But yeah. No, I would love to,
yeah.
Man. That'd be so much fun. Especially because, like, he gets, like, I think he gets to hang out with the players and stuff. And
that's, you know, true.
So, like, and, like, if if that means that I'm hanging out with Joakim Noah for, like, an hour just to try to get, like, 5 tweets worth of, you know, actually usable stuff, then great, because that means I get to spend an hour with Joe Noah. And, like, Jimmy Buckets is a pretty cool guy. So, like, yeah.
And you have Pau Gasol over there.
That's right.
Pau.
Who just jumps off the page. You know, like, all he has to do is be like, I like ice cream. And everyone's like, ah, that's Pau!
Pau Gasol's an excellent singer. You saw his video, right, where he sang How to Save a Life? Did you see that one yet?
No, I didn't see that one. I did see Jimmy Buckets dropping some T-Swifty, some Tay-Tay all day.
Yeah, we know that. Tay-Tay all day for Ray-Ray. That would be pretty cool. I just can't picture myself being – I don't know. I mean, I guess I could tone myself down a little bit.
Yeah,
just,
you would figure it out pretty quick, I think.
Yeah, I just can't resist that just when it comes up. It's like whenever the score is like 69 up, I'm like, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, okay. I would probably get myself in some hot water pretty much immediately the first time I try to drop a sensual basketball hashtag with the Bulls.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, that's why I can't picture myself doing that. It's like, man, I just can't. Like, every game live tweet, I always make, like, a, you know, sexual reference or two. So it's like, I'm not sure if I can, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know?
Well, it's not. Okay. When you say sexual reference, when I hear that phrase, I'm thinking, like, it calls to mind more explicit stuff. Like, oh, how about that penetration by Derrick Rose? Do you get what I mean by penetration? Like that's what I consider sexual stuff. Like, but this, what you and I do, most of the time, I don't consider it necessarily sexual. I think it's more just juvenile.
But see, the people would just like, oh my God, how could you say that? Like,
can you believe it? At Handle Bulls just said, oh my God, Pau Gasol.
You're amazing, Pau.
Oh, he's got a full band behind him. There are people doing, like, musical effort.
Yeah, he was doing karaoke and behind a band, I guess. I'm not sure if it's for charity, but yeah.
Oh, man. How do you, like, go home at night and tell your wife or your husband, like, yeah, I was doing some good music so Pau Gasol could sing? Oh, was he a good singer? No, he mangled it. And
Pau Gasol is the best singer in the world.
I mean, he's very distinctive.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for that, I guess. But, like, no, I kept the time perfectly and he was singing like this. Like, oh, God bless Pau Gasol. Seriously, I'm so glad he's a Bull.
We'll be right back with more Adam Jacoby as we hear from this promo and Pau Gasol. Let's do it.
It's Kristen Ledlow from NBA Inside Stuff, and I was once on the Ray Reyes Fundamental Podcast. Once. That was enough.
Lay down a list of what is wrong. Things you told them all along. Pray to God he hears you. Pray to God he hears you. And where did I go wrong? I lost a friend somewhere along in the bitterness. And I would have stayed up with you all night. Had I known how to save a life.
I'm so bummed he's not a Laker anymore, but the fans treated him pretty poorly. So
yeah. They didn't deserve him. This is what happens when you take Pau for granted. You lose Pau. Mm-hmm.
I love Pau, man. Like, I wish that he stayed, but I don't blame him for leaving, honestly. I really don't blame him for leaving.
Yeah, the fans were like, Pau got so long, partner.
Anyway. I can't even go on now. That was, like, terrible. No, but seriously, like, so doing social media for official NBA teams is like, yeah, I'm sure it's a great job. Like, this was in a position, like, 3-4 years ago, right?
No. I mean, yeah. Maybe you had an intern just doing it just so, like, nobody else was there on at Bulls or at Nuggets or whatever. You know, you yeah. just had to literally have a presence so nobody else could have it. But, like, now it's a thing because, you know, teams have actually figured out that it helps, like, drive fan interaction with your franchise, mm-hmm. which is sort of what you want. You know, mm-hmm. fans are the ones that buy the tickets and watch on TV and you know, buy jerseys and shirtsies and foam fingers. Speaking of which, like, I still have my red Atlanta Hawks foam finger in Robbie Callen's pickup truck. Robbie, if you're listening, I'm coming for the foam finger. I have not forgotten it, even though I forgot it that one time. But it lives on in my heart and my dreams, and one day we'll be together again. The Hawks are so fun to watch, man. I didn't see this season coming at all. But
I didn't see this coming for like the next 30 years, really.
Yeah, yeah. Because,
I mean, it's the Hawks. You know, they've
been 30 years, yeah.
They've been mediocre for so long, and I love, like, our Hawks friends. Like, you mentioned Robbie, and there's Bo Cherny, and there's
Bo's great.
Cole Patty. Yeah, they're all awesome. But, like, we've always seen them as a mediocre team, and look at them now. Like, yeah, on paper, they don't look like the greatest. You know, they don't have a lot of collection of superstars, but, man, they're so fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. And they just keep winning and winning. And, like, they have some stinkers on their season. It's just that there's, like, five stinkers of games, and most teams have, you know, 20-plus. So their bell curve is pretty small and pretty high up on the scale of quality. No, and it's fun to see it, and I hope they get a deep run in the playoffs out of it. You know, like, Wizards fans, I assure you it'd be great if your team did well too. I just don't want to see it happen this year. I want as much of the Hawks as possible because especially, like you said, the people on Hawks Twitter, from the official media person down to the fans and stuff, they deserve it. I think they deserve it, and hopefully they get like a finals run or at the very least an ECF run out of it.
Which official NBA Twitter, we'll probably get in trouble for this, but which official NBA Twitter account doesn't get it? Which ones do you think don't get it?
Oh boy.
I can name a few, but like I want to hear yours first.
I don't think I've ever seen anything from the Knicks one where I'm like, oh, I'm so glad they tweeted that. or like the same goes with like the Lakers.
Yeah.
I understand that if your team is just on this multi-year, just garbage truck of a stretch.
But see, here's the thing. The Sixers are a pile right now,
mm-hmm.
but I love their social media.
Yeah, well, the Sixers at the very least have some fun things going with the franchise, you know, even if they're not really going to come to fruition for another few years. But I think things are a little bleaker in New York and L.A., and that sort of manifests itself. Like, there's – what are you going to get excited about if you're at Lakers? Like, mm-hmm. hey, how about Jeremy Lin? Or, whoa, here. Okay, but a good social media, a good at Lakers would have had a field day with the Kelly Clarkson lineups, right?
Yeah, right?
Because they should be embracing that.
Yeah, we see SB Nation, shout out to Drew Garrison and whoever else runs Silver Screen and Roll. They did the whole Kelly Clarkson thing, and they had a ball with that for, like, months.
Right, because, duh, Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, exactly.
You are never going to get an opportunity like that. Well, maybe Robert Swift with some guys. Like, maybe Robert Swift played with Maurice Taylor, but Taylor Swift wasn't a thing back then.
Nice.
But like,
yes,
or
sir.
Maybe Stromile Swift played with Mo Taylor. But, you know, again, that wasn't a thing. Like, you're never going to get an opportunity like that again. Plump
yeah.
for as much as you possibly can. And it's not like you're making fun of these guys. It's not like
yeah.
you're saying, well, Jordan Clarkson plays ball like a girl, ha, 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 bleh, or anything like
oh
that.
Oh, my God, that's so clever.
Yeah, no, that's not the point of the joke. The point is, our guys can stand next to each other and their jerseys will say Kelly Clarkson. I love that. Like, use it. Use it. Have some fun. Basketball
some
is always
people
fun.
Win a lifetime for a moment like this.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
see,
they don't, I mean, at Timberwolves, they're kind of fun. Like, but they would choke some for an opportunity at a joke like that.
Yeah. And, you know, they've used my pictures before too. When I had a Kevin Garnett picture, he was staring at Kirk Heinrich and they used it. I'm like, wow, see, all they know how to have fun.
See? Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Shout out to T-Wolves.
Yeah. I forgot his name. I feel bad now because the guy actually follows me, but like, I don't, I forgot his name. So shout out to you. I'm sorry. So yeah. So hopefully, I don't know. I almost think that the Knicks and the Lakers, I think, are still stuck in their old ways in a way, I guess. Mm-hmm. They're not evolving per se because I know they've been around for a long time. The Lakers have a winning tradition. The Knicks haven't had a winning tradition in like 40 years. Is that what it is, you think? That they're just stuck to the old school?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think that there's still some a little too much self-reverence in the way those programs are run, especially, mm-hmm. like, you know, the Lakers don't need to drum up support from fans. Because, I mean, they've got one of the biggest fan bases in the world. So, like, why do they have to lift a finger to try to get people to stay energized? I mean, or I guess that's the thought. And I guess, you know, especially when you're sort of a higher up in promotions, well, you know, the Lakers brand promotes itself, you think. So, So your job is to protect that and to make sure that your brand identity stays the same. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, that's hardly a good recipe for running a good Twitter.com. You know, at some point they're going to need to sort of refresh their identity and you know, cater to people who have been born after 1970. you know, those the Lakers guy, you know, with the chain and the staring and the wide open shirt. You know the Lakers guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, he's going to be in his 60s, and it's going to be sometime soon. And, like, he's not, you know, those people like that aren't going to be coming to games forever. And you sort of want people who are younger to be your next generation of, you know, ticket holders and jersey buyers. Yeah. Like, at some point, you have to market to them, I think. Maybe.
Yeah. Because the next generation of people right now in L.A., my nephew, for instance, he's going to be a Clippers fan.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You wouldn't be able to blame it because the Lakers, you know, what the Lakers are selling is we won a ton of titles in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and in through the 2000s. Well, we're halfway through the teens and the Lakers look bleak. And their biggest selling point, Kobe Bryant, has been sitting on the bench for, what, 80% of the games in the last two years? Meanwhile, the Clippers are the most fun team to watch in the NBA half the time. Like, if I'm 14 or 15 years old, one, I barely remember Kobe Bryant as a winner. Two, I am digging, you know, Paul and Griffin and even Mr. Crazy Pants, Matt Barnes. And Big Baby.
Like, I love Matt Barnes, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Those guys are super fun to watch. Are they great at basketball? No. But like Jamal Crawford is like the sixth, like, most memorable guy on that team. And he is an insane person on an NBA court. Like, you don't get opportunities like that very often to watch an actual insane person just like jack from everywhere and make like 40% of them. It's nuts. So yeah, like the Clippers know how to promote themselves. There's nobody in Lakers promotions and marketing who ever would have been able to think up, implement, and get the support of the franchise for the concept of Lob City. That never would have happened for the Lakers, and the Clippers just totally owned it. And I think that's awesome. And so, and it's, that's what you got to do. you got to be able to sell yourself and embrace the new things, or else your whole online identity sucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my thought anyway.
So on Twitter.com, I mean, you've live tweeted plenty of movies. I've done a few myself. Mm-hmm. Harper's done a few himself. But what was the worst movie you ever live tweeted?
Oh, God. A few years ago, there was, man, I don't even remember the name of it. But it was a Steven Seagal movie.
It already sounds awesome.
Yeah, right, right. And like, here's the guest, you know, because he's always got somebody in the movie where you're like, now hang on. Why is that guy even in a movie at all? Like, it's been Ja Rule. It's been DMX. But this one was like, it was called Into the Sun, and it was from 2005. So, like, we're already into the twilight of the Steven Seagal era. Like, this is not Under Siege Seagal. This is, like, super puffy Seagal. But, like, his sidekick, at least at the beginning of the movie, was, I kid you not, Eddie George, as in NFL running back, former Heisman winner. Eddie George. Right. And so,
wow.
And here's the best part. Like, Eddie shows up at the beginning of the movie where Seagal is doing some sort of, like, clandestine military thing in some Southeast Asian country, which, okay. And then Eddie George gets shot. And we think that maybe he dies, but it's never really, you know, for sure. And then the plot just totally changes and never revisits that whatsoever. Like, he doesn't go back to, I guess it was Vietnam or maybe Laos or something like that, or Thailand. It was in, you know, the marshy Southeast Asia, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, the rest of the movie is him fighting the Yakuza. Like, organized
awesome.
Crime in Japan. Yeah. Like, he's in, like, they assassinate the governor of Tokyo. Like, that has nothing to do with Thailand and Eddie George getting shot. Like, I think they just wanted to shoot a running back at the beginning of the movie just to cross one off the bucket list, and that's it. And so, like, I spent the entire movie wondering what the hell was going on, and then the movie was over. Steven Seagal won, by the way. He always wins. But that's the worst movie I've ever live tweeted.
It sounds like the best movie ever.
Well,
I don't know what you're talking about.
it was certainly a memorable experience. I'll give them that. Yeah. No, like, I'm not exaggerating about any of that. Eddie George gets shot, and then the movie just takes a hard right and never comes back.
I've always wanted to see Eddie George. No, not really.
No. Whoa,
wow.
Whoa.
Really? Eddie
That's
George.
An odd
it
thing
blows my mind. He was in a movie, for one thing, with Steven Seagal, for another thing, and his story never comes back to him. That's
no.
That sounds awesome.
It doesn't even come close.
Wow. So, you mentioned memorable. So, what was the most memorable movie you live tweeted?
Oh, it's got to be Fast 6, Fast Furious 6, whichever.
I think you did the entire series, right?
I did do the entire series because it, for the longest time I hadn't seen a single one of them. And I knew they were good, and I wasn't, like, actively avoiding them, and I wasn't, like, proud of the fact that I had never seen any of them. So, like, when I finally admitted it on Twitter, everyone's like, yeah, man, I haven't seen them either, you know. High five. And I'm like, no, that's not something to be proud of. I am confessing a sin here. Don't don't look to me for any support on this one. This is a wrong on my part. But no, like,
wow.
What I love about the Fast and Furious franchise is that somebody somewhere looked at Point Break, the movie, and said, we made such a mistake not getting 7 movies out of this idea. And they're right. They are totally right. Because can you imagine what banana cakes scenarios they would have to have come up with by Point Break 5? Like, Johnny Utah is undoubtedly, like, the head of the shadow CIA at this point. Like, he can't be official CIA, but like the shadow government CIA. And, you know, Bodhi's probably dead at this point. Well, oh, I mean, shout out to Swayze. I didn't even mean it like that. But like, so the new supervillain is probably like, what do you want to say? Jaden Smith? Like, because why not? They can't undo that error of stopping at one Point Break movie, but they brought us this whole new franchise, and it is so stupidly brilliant. And you after watching the first one, the first Fast and Furious, you could not possibly see this coming. Like, and I was reading things for, you know, reviews for like the fourth one, you know, Fast Four or whatever they call that one. Or I think that one's just Fast and Furious. But anyway, like the reviews of that one were like, boy, I had no idea this movie even needed to be made. They're like, oh, why even do this? Huh, I guess someone asked for this. Well, it was a really good movie. And like, and it vaulted us into the utter insanity of 5, 6, and 7, which might be the pinnacle of action movie making. And I am not kidding. That you might think that like I'm saying that for laughs, like that's some sort of humorous exaggeration. No, those might be the pinnacle of action movie making in American cinema, flat out, dead serious. It's either that or the Die Hard franchise 1 through 3. But like, nothing gets better than that. The utter insanity of the stunts and inventiveness and total disregard for human lives outside of the main characters. I mean, the death toll from the stunts that they pull in these, if they had happened in real life, would be in the thousands. Like when they drag a safe through the streets of Rio de Janeiro, like a giant, you know, 15 megaton safe. That would kill so many people. And they're like, well, glad no one was hurt. And but the inventiveness, the ambition, the genius of it all is something to behold. And I love these movies so wholeheartedly. And I cried a few real thug tears at the end of Fast 7 when they did the tribute. Oh, it was a perfect tribute. I'm not gonna act like I didn't get a little weepy, because it was perfect and it was loving and it showed the same respect for Paul Walker as the movie has, or as the franchise has shown for cars and explosions and guns. They basically said, okay. And for stunts, like the movie has basically, or the franchise has basically said, hey, this is the stuff you want. We are going to give it to you full throttle, no questions asked. And if it doesn't make sense, I don't care. You know,
see, that's the thing. It's like some people are expecting a cinematic masterpiece on certain movies, but you know,
but it doesn't
maybe
try,
some,
and I appreciate that.
But some people just want explosions.
Yes,
that's just what it comes down to.
Yes, and the Fast and Furious franchise embraces that identity so much and without a hint of irony. And that's clarity in concept and execution, and a whole lot more movies could stand that just full embrace of what it is they're trying to do. I love it. Mm-hmm. Just love it.
Yeah. So you don't care if this franchise keeps going and going and going. They're making an eighth movie.
I hope they listen to Dame Helen Mirren and make her the big bad in that one. Seriously, that would be tremendous. And she wants to do it. Make it happen. I would love it. There's no reason. Look.
This podcast is going a little long, so we'll take another break and we'll be right back with more Adam Jacoby and some of his punny stories.
This is Adam Jacoby, and if you're looking for a morality play, check out Ray Ray is Fundamental.
You're the worst.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Liam Neeson's career. He was still doing Love Actually like 10 years ago. And now he's this action movie star, and he's, you know, the Taken series.
The Taken series, yeah.
I mean, Taken 3 was ludicrous. Just an abomination. So, of course, Robbie and Zach and I saw it twice in the theaters. but, I mean, like, there's no reason that Liam Neeson can do that and Helen Mirren can't. There's no reason, other than, like, she's a girl. Well, okay, it's 2015. We can do that. We're past that.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I would love it. I would love it, and I hope that we get to 10. And then, you know, at that point, Dom's probably going to want to ride off in the sunset for his own good. He's looking a little old. Like, did you know that Vin Diesel's, like, 50 years old?
Really?
Yeah, he's pretty close.
Or something. He's early to mid-40s. I'm on Wiki right now, so I'm going to look it up.
No, I mean, like, he is, I want to say, like, 49. And, you know, when you're a big dude,
yeah,
you know, those years after the 30s and 40s, they don't treat you so well. That, you know,
no, they don't.
Fact of life.
Vin Diesel's 47 right
47,
now.
47, yeah. And he's
going to be 48 this year.
Which is nuts, because, you know, but, like, The only big dude who's aged gracefully, you know, the big muscular dude who's aged gracefully, is like Barry Bonds, and that's only because he doesn't need to take the roids anymore. You know, like all he has to do is ride his bike. But like that's it. Like we don't. It's not fun to watch Sly Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger with their shirts off now. So
no.
Like,
yeah.
So eventually, you know, at some point, Dom's gonna have to ride off into his own sunset, hopefully on happier terms than Paul Walker. But, you know, it would be great to see where they go next. Because they can certainly get like 5 more movies out of The Rock. The Rock is
yeah, definitely.
Perfect for like The Rock was born for this. And I hope they use him. Like it's sad to see him slumming it as a helicopter rescue pilot in that new Earthquake movie. Like, I get that he wants to do nice
yeah,
things,
he wants to do everything.
And this is nice money coming in. It's not like he's only getting, you know, $20 an hour to do this. But at the same time, like, you know they're not letting him be the full-on The Rock the way that the Fast and Furious does. So, yeah, just make the movies about him from now on. Get, like, 5 more out of it, I will see every single one of them on opening night. Every single one, no questions asked.
And honestly, I can't wait to see his TV series that's supposed to be on HBO soon or whatever. So.
Oh yeah, where he's R-less but The Rock. Yeah, that's gonna
yeah.
be great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. See, before we got into this real tangent about Fast and Furious, about like the thing is like it happened to me too, where I had mentioned that I hadn't watched the Star Wars original trilogy a couple years ago. Yeah, and then. People got on my case for it, so I live tweeted it 2 summers ago.
What'd you think? Honest question. What did you think?
I liked them.
Yeah,
I actually liked them.
They're fun,
and they were legitimately good movies.
Yeah.
I liked the second one
mm-hmm.
then the first, then Return of the Jedi was like it was still good, but I thought it was a little slower.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I legitimately liked them, but I was just getting nerd rage from a lot of people. It's like, no, it's Sarlacc. I'm like, oh, sorry, you know,
sorry, I didn't. Get all the details right on the first try.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, it's so hilarious how they get so mad over like it's my first time watching it. Like, leave me alone.
Right.
You know?
And like, there's something special about that. One of my favorite YouTubes is where a guy is showing his kid those movies mm-hmm. for the very first time, and his kid's like 5 or 6 or something. And then when
right.
Darth reveals the big like, "I am your father." And this kid's face just super duper lights up, and he's like, "Oh my god!" And like, that's I love that. What to mm-hmm. to have this totally unironic, like, just to be amazed by what's happening in a movie. That's so cool mm-hmm. to me. That is super cool.
See, I wish I didn't get like 30 years of spoilers in the past.
Right? Yeah. Like, if you didn't see that coming, it would be amazing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I knew it was momentous at the time, but it's like. I was like, man, it just doesn't have the effect when you already knew it. You know what I mean?
Right, right, exactly.
Even I knew the whole, like, Luke-Leia relationship. Like, I already knew about that beforehand. So it's like, yeah, so I mean, it would have been great, you know, hey. All right, so last thing before I let you go, you know, you're probably one of the few people that the reason why I still love Twitter, because you have like the worst jokes ever, and and most of Twitter these days is just like, oh, you know, been a little negative as of late. You see like a bunch of like, you know, events that go on, and you just see the negativity off of people, and you see the worst of people. You know, I mean, is this still fun than it was like 5 years ago? Because I know you were around 5 years ago.
Yeah. No, I've absolutely noticed the exact same thing, and it really bums me out. And you know, there are some people that I've had to unfollow just and like where it's not even like a politically smart thing for me to do. You know, all those politics, but like I couldn't take the negativity, and it just bummed me out. especially to know that on some level, I was probably contributing to that sort of toxic atmosphere. And I sort of figured that out about 3 years ago. And it what specifically brought it to mind was at one point there was a picture of Terrell Pryor hanging out with Brett Favre, which, you know, and it seems sort of ripe for its own jokes. And so I immediately made some joke. I did hashtag True Detective season 2. Like, you know, it wasn't even a joke necessarily, but like it was immediately, you know, the thing I thought of. And then some person like retweeted it like 45 minutes later, and they were like, "What a cool picture. I'm so glad that Pryor got to meet one of the legends." And I was like, Yeah, no, actually this is a really cool picture. This is, you know, and one of the new stars, or what we thought, one of the new stars, you know, a new style quarterback meeting with one of the greatest quarterbacks, and they're hanging out, and I'm sure that they had an interesting conversation, and like that person noticed that, and my first thought had been to make a tired joke, and I'm like, well, that sucks, you know, I should be able to notice things like that. And so between that and you know, just sort of a really caustic atmosphere, and you know, people, you know, it's really easy to fire off something mean in 140 characters. You know, that is not difficult at all. But you know, between that and sort of trying to figure out, you know, what the heck I'm actually trying to do with this, and I was like, okay, well, clearly something's going to need to be dialed back here, and so. But I still want to make jokes. I still want to entertain. I enjoy entertaining people. And I, quite selfishly, I like it when people follow me. And you know, people.
You don't say.
I totally care about that. Absolutely. I understand when people don't, but at the same time, the more the merrier. And so the one sort of medium of mirth making, that doesn't, you know, cut other people down is puns. Like, those are fun, but they're ultimately they're harmless. People boo, but that's the way people play along, and you know, nobody's actually hurt by it. And it doesn't,
it's just bad wordplay is what it is.
And it doesn't treat humor and enjoyment of things as a zero sum game. You know what I mean? Like, my enjoyment of a thing is not dependent on somebody else being made worse in other people's eyes. I think that's a dumb, juvenile way to go about things. And unfortunately, like, I thought all that stuff got sort of left behind in high school. But it's sort of the law.
And you find out.
I know I'm you know, trying to shout into a gale force wind and try to, you know, change the the way the leaves are blowing. And I know I'm just one person, but it's the way I have fun. It's the way I stay sane on Twitter. And so can I tell you a story?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Can I tell you a story I've already told, or do you want to hear a brand new story?
Whatever works for you.
Okay. Well, I'll tell the horse story. So a horse walks into a bar, and the bartender says, "Hey, horse, why the long face?" Mm-hmm. And the horse says, "Well, Ray, I'll tell you, I'm not having a good day." And Ray, the bartender, says, "Well, horse, what the heck's going on here? Are you not getting enough to eat?" And the horse says, Ray, no, it's not it. Like, my owners feed me very well. I'm a show horse. And, you know, they're not going to malnourish their show horse. That'd be ridiculous. No, mm-hmm. no. And then Ray's like, well, horse, I'm sorry. You having a problem with your shoes? You got a split hoof thing going on? And the horse is like, Ray, that's not it at all. My shoes are great. I wouldn't have walked in here if I, you know, had a hoof problem. I'm like, come on. So Ray's like, well, it's got to be something. Is it too cold? You know, we've had a cold winter. And the horse is like, well, I mean, it's sort of cold at night, but I've got a heater. I've got a blanket. My mm-hmm. stall is nice. My owners treat me perfect, Ray. It's not that at all. And Ray says, well, horse, you're eating well, you're comfortable, you look fine. I don't see a problem here at all. And the horse says, well, Ray, why don't you take a closer look at my hair here? And Ray says, well, horse, everything looks like it's in place. You're not losing your hair at all. In fact, it looks like you just got it combed. And horse was like, well, I mean, that's sort of it, Ray. I was just at the horse salon today. And Ray's like, well, what's the problem with that? What's the problem with going to the horse salon? You love it there. They pamper you. They take care of you. Mm-hmm. And horse says, well, Ray, I had a gray hair. Ray looks at him. He's like, horse, well, that's no problem. Well, look at me. I'm Ray. I got a ton of gray hairs. I'm still a bartender. That doesn't prevent me from doing anything. And the horse says, well, that's it. That's it. You're a bartender, Ray. I'm a show horse. And people aren't going to enjoy a show horse with gray hairs. And they're not going to enjoy a horse with dyed hair, which is what I got going on here. And Ray's like, well, that's not a big deal. How can that be a big deal? Look at you. You're still a horse. I don't think that's a concern at all, horse. And horse looks at Ray and he says, it's not only a concern, it's my main concern.
Oh, God. Oh, my God, I hate you.
Yes. And that's when the horse walked into a bar with a long face.
Oh my God, you're terrible! I want 5 minutes of my life back.
can I tell you another? Can I tell you another quick one on lunch about my lunch today?
One more.
Okay. Yeah. It's really so. Like I had some research to do over lunch. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And it was about the economics of Middle Asia, specifically. Mm-hmm. There was some economist in Istanbul. Talking about the company's grain export policies. And he was none too pleased about it. In fact, I guess you could say he roasted turkey on wheat.
I think that's the show. Adam, where can they find your work on the internet, and where can they follow you on Twitter?
They can follow me at Adam underscore, the underscore is very important, Jacoby, yes. JACOBI.
Follow him for the worst jokes ever on Twitter.
I'm very good at Twitter.com, and I already satisfy the customers, baby.
And where else can I find you on the internet?
At BlackheartGoldPants.com.
Iowa Hawkeyes. Everything. Thank you so much, Adam. Really entertaining.
Thank you for having me. I had a blast.
Hey, this is Matthew Mercer, voice of Abe, the Trapper from Evolve, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast.
Adam Jacoby is the worst. Actually, he's the best. Again, follow him on Twitter at Adam underscore Jacoby. You spell Jacoby JACOBI. Find his work at BlackheartGoldPants.com for everything Iowa Hawkeyes. And as you know, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show at rayray.net. There's a hyphen between the rays. And you can find the podcast on Stitcher as well. You can follow the podcast Twitter account at rayrayisfun, because you all know I am really fun. But if you want to follow my personal account, it's at thenolookpass. You can also check out my NBA website, which is behind at the moment, at thenolookpass.com. Shout out to everyone who listens to this show. Thank you so much for keeping me semi-relevant. Shout out to the Gal Pal Squad. You girls really keep me grounded. And just remember, Ray Ray is fundamental, and you don't need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, party people.
Do you regret anything that you said about Cleveland?
Not at all. You like it? You think Cleveland's cool? I mean, I never heard anybody say, I'm going to Cleveland on vacation. I mean, what's so good about Cleveland? Game over, yeah!
Moded.